All right, good morning. Today's scripture reading is Psalm 101. I'm going to read through this psalm. If you agree at the end of it, if you will respond with, "This is the word of the Lord." "I will sing of the steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. Now you guys can have a seat. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles this morning. We had a couple weeks ago had really encouraged and want to really encourage you as a church to bring physical Bibles to church. We just believe that it is a good, wise thing to do that kind of avoids maybe some of the distractions on our devices and those things. So open up to Psalm 101. Again, if you don't have a Bible, that we will have a text on the screen today, and if you need a Bible, come find me or Ryan afterwards. We'll get you a Bible. And so today, first of all, by the way, my name is R.C. Ford. I'm the campus pastor. And so if I haven't met you yet, I'm thankful that you're here, especially enduring through a little, you know, the inclement weather this morning. It just shows how essential this is to gather and push through some of the challenges and obstacles. But this is the first Sunday in January. And I know that it is a church cliche to talk about New Year's resolution on the first Sunday in January, but I'm going to do it anyway, because that is exactly what Psalm 101 is. It is David's resolution. So we're going to talk about that today, his resolution to walk in integrity, to walk in integrity. This is the time of year, of course, where many people begin to look into the mirror of their own lives and I kind of just try to start making a change in their life, a resolve to make a change, looking at several different things in their life. We look at bodies and budgets and health and habits, and we just kind of say, "I'm going to be a better version of myself." That's kind of the typical New Year's resolution. Now, you might be someone who says, "Well, I think they're silly, New Year's resolution. I don't need to do that." And whatever, that's a preference of yours. But I would say that New Year's resolutions are principally biblical, because what they do is they acknowledge weaknesses in our life and they resolve to make a change. So I think there's principally some good things to be learning. And most of our New Year's resolutions, they're filled with a lot of "I wills," right? That's what New Year's resolutions are all about. It's usually about "I will start doing something good and I will stop doing something bad. I will stop eating poorly. I will stop doing bad things." I've just kind of mentioned this. "I will start eating better. I will start to exercise. I will stop nicotine," or "I will stop caffeine." These are some basic ones. "I'll stop being on my phone so much, and so stop being on social media so much." I will. There, you can plug in whatever you want there. Mine this year, "I will keep beating Ryan at golf." That's my resolve this year. His resolution, of course, is to stop getting beat by me at golf. But dreamers have to dream, and so you could talk to Ryan about that. But our resolutions are just, they're just full of "I will, I will, I will, I wills," right? Well, Psalm 101, David's resolution, if you were listening to the text, it's full of "I wills." It's got 10 in them specifically, as David resolves to be someone who walks in integrity. and integrity. So we're going to take 4 weeks, and we're going to look at David's resolution to walk in integrity. We're hopefully going to make it our own. I've made this resolution my own, and I want you to join me in making this resolution as well. I think it's important for before we dive into a series called Integrity 101 is to define integrity. It's a word that I think we could probably, we kind of know what it means here, but it's kind of an ethereal thing and can't put a definition on it. So I have a definition that I worked up that I want to work with today that might help us a little bit. So it's going to be up on the screen. You can write it down if you want to. But integrity is applied theology. It's living in complete alignment with one's values, beliefs, consistently and transparently before the face of others publicly and before the face of God privately in coram Deo. In other words, integrity is a person whose behavior matches their belief. Their life is consistent. They're one person all the time in their private life and in their public life. This is what David means when he says that he will walk in integrity of heart. He's saying, I'm going to be a whole person. I'm going to be the same person wherever I go, around whoever I'm around. I want to be consistent. I don't want to be accused of hypocrisy. This is what he means. Now, some street level examples of that. I've got a few I wrote down here. A person of integrity believes that quiet time with the Lord, by listening to his voice and lending themselves to his ear daily, is absolutely the key to their happiness and their health. They believe that. And they actually do it. They actually practice quiet time. People of integrity tell people they're going to pray for them, and then they actually pray. This is what integrity looks like. They believe in purity, and they practice purity. They believe in the doctrine of the church, its essentiality. They have to be with the church if they're a Christian. They believe that, and then they actually join one. And they begin to gather, grow, and give and go towards the mission of that church. That's integrity. A husband with integrity believes that he should sacrificially love his wife like Christ loves the church, that he should lead her, that he should provide for her and protect her, and then he actually practices that. A wife with integrity believes that she should honor, follow, and submit to her husband's leadership as she submits to Christ, that she should be a mother who cares for her household well. She believes those things, and that she actually practices it. A person with integrity is, again, the same person Sunday through Saturday. Wherever they go and whoever they're around, they're the same person. Proverbs has a lot to say about a person who walks in integrity, a lot. And it says that God is a shield to those who walk in integrity, that they are secure, that they will be delivered, that they will inhabit the land, and that their children after them will be blessed. This is what we do, or what we receive, when we walk with integrity. As a fruit of integrity as well. The fruit of integrity is happiness. It produces a person who is considered of high character, someone who's very trustworthy, who's very consistent, very steadfast, someone who is moral and incapable of incorruptibility. Walking integrity also produces the fruit, and get this, of a clean conscience before God. Church, there's nothing greater than having a clean conscience before God. It's an incredible, incredible gift of walking and integrity. Listen to what Spurgeon says about this. Lose all rather than lose your integrity. And when all else is gone, still hold fast to a clear conscience as the rarest jewel which can adorn a mortal. A clean conscience. There's been some times in my life where I have a clean conscience before God. Like, they don't last a long time, but man, when I have them, they are sweet. They're absolutely sweet. I'm not looking over my shoulder. Someone's gonna bust me. A Nathan's gonna come out and call me out. Like, I have moments in my life, like, and I absolutely love it. There's a clean conscience that comes when we walk in integrity. This is David's resolution in Psalm 101, to be a person who walks in integrity. This is our resolution this year in 25. Now, the question is what does it look like and how do we get there? And so let's start looking at Psalm 101. Look with me at verse 1. David says, I will sing of the steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. So, the first thing we see here is David's psalm here. It's a hymn from his heart. He is just singing. He's singing about God here. I don't have time to preach a lot about this today, but you know, David was one of the most manliest men on the face of the earth, like killing bears and lions with his bare hands. And yet, he sang. He sang at home, he sang at church. Manly men sing. Manly men sing. Now, the background here, the likely background, I should say, of Psalm 101 is David's recent ascension to the throne. Right after Saul's debacle as king, because he was a man who didn't walk in integrity, he walked in a lot of inconsistency and impurity. So David has assumed the throne. And so what's going to happen here, as we see what's happening, he is resolving to walk in integrity. He wants to rule righteously in Israel. But before he can call all of the citizens in his kingdom to walk in integrity, he says, I must do this myself. His self-reform would come before kingdom reform. And nothing could be more true as I stand up and preach to you today. And all the pastors at Life Point Church today who get up and call you to walk in integrity today, if I'm going to do that, then I too must commit myself to walking in integrity. I have to preach this sermon to myself. And so I just want to let you know, I say that because I really have done that in this series. I'm not done preaching to myself, but I have taken this seriously to look inwardly in my own life to ensure that I am walking in integrity as I call you to do the same thing. Now, let me draw your attention back to verse 1. This is the absolute key to the treasure chest that Psalm 101 is. This is absolutely key. If you listen to nothing else the rest of the series, listen to this point. This is the why behind all of David's I wills in the psalm. It's the reason that he is committing himself to walk in integrity. And the why is this: because of the steadfast love and justice of God. That's it. That's the why. That is the motivation behind all of this. So he's not saying, hey, I want to walk in integrity because I just want to be a better version of me. I want to walk in integrity because I want to be better than Saul, and he wasn't, and I want to be better. I want to be loved by the people more if I walk in integrity. He's not saying I want to walk in integrity so that I can escape hell and go to heaven. He is committing to walk in integrity because of two things he knows about God: steadfast love and his justice. Two inseparable twins. That's what these two things are. Yes, David rested in the steadfast covenant love of God. Yes, he had that. He was a recipient of it. But at the same time, David was aware of God's justice and that he would discipline him if he did not walk in integrity. Listen to what George Horn says about this idea, these two ideas of steadfast love and justice. His love and mercy encourages the greatest of sinners to hope, and his just judgments forbid the best of men to presume. So today, if you're kind of saying, hey, why should I join you in this New Year's resolution, RC? What's the why behind this? Well, this is it. This is the why. Look to God first. Before you do anything else, don't look to me, don't look to you, don't look to anyone else. Just look directly at God and think about and ponder on his steadfast love and his justice. Now, for the believer, the place that you should go in your mind's eye first is to the cross, which is the greatest display of the steadfast love and the justice of God beautifully colliding together. When Christ died on the cross, he is showing his steadfast love for sinners. At the same time, God is executing his justice on our sin, pouring it out on Jesus. So look to God first, look to the cross, and then walk away from that and say, okay, I am a recipient of the steadfast love of God. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. But at the same time, because of God's justice and that we are his children whom he loves, we have to know that he will discipline us when we do not walk in integrity, because that's who he is. He is all of steadfast love, but he's also a God of great justice. I have another quote from Spurgeon here. It was too good to leave out. It says this: we ought to bless the Lord for the sweets and the bitters, the love which he forgives sin, and the justice with which he chastens our sin. There is as much love in the blows of his hand as in the kisses of his mouth. We have to love both of the things about God. And this is where we get the motivation and the why behind all of the I wills that will unfold for the next 4 weeks. So that's the why we walk. Now, let's keep going through the psalm and we're going to see the ways that we walk. Look at verse 2. And this is where we'll stop today. We're just doing two verses. He says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. So just right there, just one verse, I see three ways that David calls us to walk in integrity. Three ways. Now, this is, if you're one of you, take advantage of your composition book. It's not a forcing, a prescription, but this is a write down. This is going to be our resolution for 25. So you might want to write this down, or you can do it later, but here it is. It's going to be up on the screen. I want you to write this in your book. It says this: I will ponder the perfect way. I will seek the presence of God, and I will start in my private life. Ponder the perfect way, seek the presence of God, starting in my private life. That's verse 2. All right, so let's talk about these three things here and see if we can join him in the resolve. Because of David's resolve to walk in integrity, it all started with him pondering, it says here, I will ponder the way that is blameless, or in other words, the perfect way. David is responding again to God's steadfast love and justice. And the first thing he says, if I'm going to walk in integrity, I've got to ponder. I have to dwell on the way that is blameless. The way that is blameless is only found in the scriptures. So David's like, hey, I'm just going to dwell on the Bible. Morning, afternoon, I'm just going to dwell. I'm going to sit in it. And because this is David's first resolve as he walks in Turkey, this has to be ours as well, to live in God's word. Look at Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And perfect. To dwell, to ponder the way that is blameless. Now, we're calling our church to strongly jump into a Bible reading plan in 25. Specifically, we want to call you to kind of like 25 and 25. 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week, spending time in the Word. But get this, it is not so that we can finish a Bible reading plan. It is not so we can self-congratulate and tell everyone else about how good we're doing in our Bible reading. That's not why we're doing it. We get our Bibles out so that we can ponder the way that is blameless. That we just dwell in the guidance of God, in the Word of God. That's why we're doing this. Now, you need to do that. Commit yourself to doing that personally. I think it's also a great thing to ponder the way that is blameless with other people. Sharpening one another, getting involved in a group, a Bible study on campus at someone's house. We have tons of groups here, and we need to ponder the blameless way together. That's a response for you. If you're not in a group, you get it. You need to check a box or come find somebody. We'll help you do that. We need to ponder the way. This is the first thing that we do. But David here, I want to draw your attention to something. He's not just saying he's going to sit around and study and just meditate on what the Bible says. Oh, this is really good concept about God. He's not just going to sit there and study. This word ponder in the Hebrew actually has an action behind it. He's going to do something about it. He's not just going to ponder the way. He's going to live in such a way that is consistent with the way. I love the ASV, the KJV, and the New King James has a different translation, which I'm going to read because I like it. It says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. You know, David, he's telling us his goal here. What's the target? And David just doesn't say, hey, I just want to be better. I just want to be the best I can be. But after all, though, you know what? No one's really perfect. So I'll just do the best that I can. That's not what he's saying right here, is it? He's saying, I want to be perfect, unspotted, without blemish, blameless in my life. That sounds lofty, doesn't it? That sounds a little unreachable, unattainable. Really, David? You want to be perfect? Listen to our Lord in Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Don't miss this, church. Yes, we are imperfect sinners. Yes, we absolutely are. who rest in the perfect work of Christ. But Jesus never excuses sin. He never says, lower the bar, just try to be better. That's not what he calls us to. He says, be perfect, be holy as I am holy. If we just aim at being good or doing better, we lower the bar. What we really do is we set ourselves up for apathy as Christians, and probably more dangerously, we set ourselves up for licentiousness. We just start getting drunk on grace and just sinning a bunch. Oh, God's gonna love me no matter what. Like, there's danger in that. The goal here, church, is perfection. May we always strive towards that. Striving for perfection. That's our first resolve here in 25. Pondering the perfect way and living and striving to the perfect way. Both of those things, all right? That's the first idea there. And the second thing we see in verse 2 is that David's resolving to seek the presence of God. When he says, oh, when will you come to me? When will you come to me? Yes, David is going to ponder the perfect way, but he's also seeking the presence of a person here. He knew in the old covenant, the greatest blessing of God was not just his guidance, but his very presence. He wanted to be with God more than he just wanted to learn about God and the way of God. So that's why he's saying, where, oh God, when will you come to me? He sought a greater nearness with the Lord in his life. And this for us, in our walk with integrity, this also is something that we have to seek, is the very presence of God. When we sit down in our quiet time, in our 25 and 25, when we do that, we're not just pondering the way. We're not just seeking the guidance of God. We are seeking the very presence of God himself. When I have to remind myself of that every day, by the way, because I get up and I read and I'm thinking, okay, I got to really study this doctrine and what does this mean here and what's the translation here and where do I go to the text commentaries and what does it say? But like, I have to fight that too and I have to remember, hey, bro, you're just trying to be with God. Just sit there and cry out as David cried out, when will you come to me, O Lord? I have to remind myself that the presence of God is one of the greatest gifts that he gets to us. To see him more clearly manifested in my life. That's what we're seeking for in this thing here. So let that be our cry when we get, you know, when you get up and you get your Bible out and you get your coffee cup and you're sitting there. Man, let that be our cry too. Oh, when will you come to me, Lord? Let us echo David in that. The last thing is this. Starting in my private life, walking in integrity not only ponders the perfect way, seeks the presence of God, but it starts in our private lives, in our private lives. David said, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house, within my house. His integrity, his wholeness, his consistency, his transparency, all of those things had to be real in his own house before he could ever call anyone in the kingdom to integrity. He knew that principle. He knew that, again, that his own self had to be reformed before culture could be reformed in Israel. He knew that he would have to walk in integrity in his own home. It's his private life, right? For us, again, our integrity walk must begin in our own homes. Our own homes and our own houses. Private lives. In other words, by being a Christian at home when no one is watching, or maybe when your family's watching. That's kind of what David's talking about here. Being a Christian at home, that's hard. You know, Billy Graham said that that is one of the hardest places to be a Christian, at home. Isn't it just sometimes easier to walk around to strangers or people at church and just be so nice? It's so easy to talk and so polite and so friendly and all, and then you get home and then the real you kind of comes out. It's hard to be a Christian at home. But the truth of the matter is who we are at home is who we really are. Who we are at home is who we are. The question here, reflecting, is who are you at home? In your private life, not at church, not at work, who are you at home? Do you act like an angel in public, but then you act like a devil in your house? Do we speak like a saint when we're at church? And then we get home, and we curse, and we gossip just like the world. Kids in the room, are you respectful to people in public, but then you disrespect your parents privately in your home? Do you post things on social media that shows yourself that your life is just beautiful, but secretly and privately, your life is broken? We're looking for consistency here. You post scripture publicly, but did you never read it privately? You go to church on Sundays and raise your hands in worship and then raise hell on Saturday night. See the inconsistencies here. Who we are at home is who we really are. James calls that man a double-minded man and someone who is unstable in all of their ways. Walking in integrity begins in our house, in our private lives. Who we are at home is who we are. Now, these things today we've talked about, again, as David has a goal of reforming the kingdom of God, that they would all, everybody in the whole land would walk in integrity, so that then the watching world around them would see that these people are really consistent. They're super convictional. They're not these hypocrites who live one way and do the other thing. No, they're all in, and it was very attractive. It would to be very attractive to all nations. It would be a great evangelistic tool that if all the Christians in the world walked in integrity. That's the hope, and that's the goal. Let me just recap where we've been, and we're about to wrap up. This is our first resolution in the series, all right? I want to make sure really clear. This is our first resolution out of the steadfast love and mercy of God. We will ponder the perfect way, seek the presence of God, and we will start in our private life. That's what we're doing. I'm not going to say, hey, what you think about this? No, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. It's what I'm doing. I want you to join me in this. But let's be honest with one another for just a moment. Every single one of us in this room will break our I wills to God. Just as David would break his I wills to God. He couldn't keep his I wills to perfection. He wasn't blameless. He was full of blame. He was full of inconsistency and impurity at times in his life. Even the man after God's own heart could not walk in integrity to perfection. Which is why this psalm ultimately points to a greater king. The greater king, who is Jesus Christ, who would live a life, every millisecond of his life, he walked in perfect integrity, blameless in all of his ways, without a blemish in his entire life. Publicly, privately. And of course, because he lived this perfect life of integrity, it qualified him to save us from our sins, from our failures to keep all of our I wills. For those who trust in Christ, the greater King, he has some I wills for you. Hebrews 13:5. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. John 6:37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You see, Christ is the only one who never broke his I wills. He keeps his promises. He keeps his covenant and never breaks a single one of his I wills. This is why we trust him. This is why we put our trust in Christ. Let me ask you to do something as we respond here. I'm gonna ask you to put your books down for a minute. This is not necessarily note-taking time. This is a personal reflection. Couple of ways to respond today. The scriptures, as we ponder the way that is blameless, tell us something about God. God requires perfection from all of us. We are all full of perfection. And God's justice has to punish our imperfection. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ offers his perfection. He is our only hope in life and death. Have you trusted in Christ by grace through faith? Have you trusted in him? And are you resting your life on the perfect integrity of Jesus Christ? Today would be a great day for you to do that, not to jump in and start trying to do better things and trying to walk in integrity. Some of you don't need to do those things. Some of these days, you need to walk to Jesus. It's the first thing that you need to do today. You can respond in just a moment. The band is going to come on out. Benji, you guys come on. Let me talk to just a moment for those who have trusted in Christ and you're living your life off the perfect integrity of Jesus. Is there an area of your life where you are not walking in integrity? Where your behavior doesn't match your belief? Maybe it's in your body and what you do with your body. Maybe it is in your home. Maybe it is with your money. Maybe it is with your mouth. Maybe it is at your work. Is there an area of your life where you know what the Word of God says and you believe what the Word of God says, but your behavior does not match that? If that's the case, again, that's being half-hearted. Jesus died on the cross to make us a wholehearted Christian, to give our lives to him in all of our ways. That could be the thing or the reason why you're not walking in happiness today. Why you're experiencing some pain and suffering in your life, because you're not walking in integrity in that area of your life. If that's the case, here's the good news. Confess that. Repent that and begin to walk today in the life Christ died to give you. That's all you got to do. What a great day for us to do that. Let that be today. Again, our resolve in 25. Join me in this resolution, in David's resolution. And let me pray for us before we sing. Father, help me to be a man who walks in integrity of my own heart before I can call your people to walk. God, I know and I acknowledge and I will walk in integrity in my own life. God, I thank you for the mercy and the steadfast love of Christ, who will forgive me when I know that I will fall and I won't walk. And I pray that as he lifts my head, lifts me back up, that I would just keep chasing integrity. God, I pray that you do that with our church, that you would, through the preaching of Psalm 101, your very word, and by your power in the Holy Spirit, you would make us a church full of integrity. It's a small thing for you to do that. We know that you can. And so we beg you to make us a church like that, to a watching world, so that we might reach well beyond these walls on Sunday and help bring your kingdom to the earth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.